welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Sales with Saeed. I hope you're all doing great. You know, you can always tell that Christmas is coming when Coca-Cola starts changing their packages and put Santa on them or Christmas decorations. So that's it, what's happening at where I am right now. So it's super cold, dead cold, snowing every single day, and Christmas is coming. So there is that. But I thought I would go ahead and talk about a topic that is, it's pretty fun actually. You know, most of my inspiration really comes from me talking to my team or whenever I face a problem that I'm like, oh, you know what, this could be interesting. I could share that with other people and see if they actually get value out of it. So interdepartment communication, I think, is pretty critical up there or right up there, considering I work with both sales and success teams. You know, we are collaborating with the product team, with marketing team, as well as the support team. So pretty much all of the different avenues of the company, we're talking to them. And, you know, needless to say, pretty much everybody is complaining about one thing or the other, about the communication, about processes and everything. And I just, you know, one of my colleagues, I love what he says about it. It's just, these are growing pains. And if you've had these growing pains, that I've had it at pretty much every company I've worked at. And those growing pains never cease to amaze me, because they're just continuous. Because if you solve one problem, you know, something else pops up, and you solve that problem, something else pops up, and it's, you can never get it right. But there are companies, of course, that have perfected it or do it well enough that it doesn't occur or happen again and again. So I thought it would be it's a topic that is worthy of getting my carrot mode on, which is interdepartment communication. So yeah, I want to talk about it a little bit more, because I think a lot of my energy that is spent on a day-to-day or at least on a weekly basis is pretty much spent on how much our teams collaborate with different departments. Like, hey, say there's a blocker here, can you go ahead and solve this? Or say, can you help me with that, with an escalation? Or what can we do here? Or can you talk to the product team about the feature request? Or, you know, our customer requesting this feature, can you get this pushed out? My customer needs this, or a coupon, or this and that. So all these kind of things that pretty much go through me every single week, at least on a day-to-day, it's another evidence of the point that, you know, your teams are not collaborating well together. Because if everything has to go, or at least for the most part, a lot of things have to go through the manager, well, that's a failure of a manager. So that's me tooting my own horn in a positive or a negative light. But most importantly, it just means that the process at somewhere within your company is kind of, it's broken. In the sense that it could be improved. Because if it's creating bottlenecks for people, people don't know what to do, they have to wait a long time for escalations to process, or they have to wait a long time to get a feedback from the product team about a feature request or product roadmap, or, you know, they can't seem to get feedback from the development team about certain thing that they're building out or bug fix and so on and so forth. These are all problems that end up costing a lot of energy, time, and of course frustration for the customers. And this is, you know, this is one of those problems that has a twofold effect. One, it has an effect internally. People are frustrated. Of course, it leads to a higher attrition, more frustration. People are less productive because they're like, ah, god damn it, it's not going to work anyway, right? Like, I was giving an example to my team. It's like, you join a team, you're so happy and excited. Hey, I'm going to crush it. I'm going to kill it with these leads, and I'm going to take care of my book of business. And then like 2 years later, you're like kind of go down into that energy. It's pretty much everybody else, which is like, yeah, nothing much is going to change. I mean, you know, great. Here comes another a-hole joining the team, super excited and happy. They don't know what it's going to become of them in the next year or two. It's just that the energy dies down and you kind of like get into the mode of like, this is how things are done. Get on with it. Right. So yeah, I mean, but what I really want to talk about is that it's never a good indicator. I mean, if you have a lot of bottlenecks, right? Like, you know, like the worst thing is at the end of the day that people are getting affected, prospects are getting affected, customers are getting affected. These are the ones that actually end up paying the price for these gaps in communication, right? Like morale, lost opportunities, customers churning. When people are not on the same page, things never are going to be structured. And rightfully so, people will be pissed off. So what I want to do is I want to give you all the solutions so this never happens in your company. But on a serious note, shit communication between teams is a real pain point to a lot of different folks, right? And I'm pretty sure anybody who's listening can agree with that. And it really destroys any ability to build out any company or a team or a strong culture, right? There is no way you can align all these people together towards a common goal if they're just not communicating well together or with each other. So what I want to do is break down some of the solutions that I have or things that have worked for me in the past that I see do work, so you don't let this kind of like pain point or a thing to become a monstrosity to begin with, right? And I was giving an example of my article, which was like, it's kind of like preemptively fixing your car, right? I mean, I bought a BMW when I was young. It was an old BMW. God, it was like, it had like 7-8 years on it, like 120,000 miles. I bought it. It was a great car, had all these luxury features. But what ended up happening was this car would break every 3,000-4,000 miles. I mean, it would just not give me a brake. Engine light would come on, the check engine light, and then the electronics and this and that and that. Never buy German cars. Well, never buy used German cars. So there is that. But they're a money pit. But the point is, what I realized after buying that car is that these cars are high end things. You have to take care of them preemptively. Predict the breakdown before it actually happens, because when it breaks down, it's going to be a lot more costly than a preemptive repair. I didn't know we were talking about the cars. Let's get back on track. So the first thing is, when it comes to communication between the teams, just setting up guidelines. I cannot stress this enough. My personal favorite, and I by no means I'm sponsored. God, I wish I was ever going to be sponsored by anyone. I'm not at that pace or that stage yet. Back to the point. My personal favorite, essentially, for creating these guidelines and documentation is Notion. And what I do is that I just start with a canvas, empty canvas. I'll write down every single thing that could possibly come to my mind that my teams would need to get things done. Be that be processes, or be that be guidelines, rules, or whatever. And I really go deep and I dumb it down. I dumb it down. Why? Because you know, I know sales and success. So this is a space in which I have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, but a lot of other people in the other teams might not, right? So to make things easier for them to digest, or any other person joining the team, these guidelines are very, very helpful. Of course, helpful for people joining the team so they know exactly what they need to do or how things work. And of course, easy for other people in the team to understand in the company that are not part of your team that, hey, these are how things are done in success or sales or support or product or development, so on and so forth. So kind of like if there's a baseline where the customer support needs to handle a customer, you write that down there. If there's a threshold in when customer success team comes in, write that down there. What happens to a prospect when it's self-service or sales needs to take care of it? How does a credit happen, refund happen? Every single thing, you try to make sure that everything is crystal clear. If the things are crystal clear, the guidelines are there, the chances there will be miscommunication is going to be infinitesimally lower, right? I mean, that does not mean that the guidelines alone will work, of course not, but coupled with other practices, of course, it's a great way to go ahead and get started. And what I've noticed is that more comprehensive your documentation, the better it is, because it lowers the chances that somebody's going to come to you on Slack and say, hey, Saeed, how does that work? Or can you please give me an understanding of how this works? This is, again, talking about those bottlenecks, because A, if you're out of the office, that person is stuck waiting for you to get a response. You're away on vacation, again, they're stuck. You're busy, they're stuck, and things might get urgent, and you may never know what that escalation level is until you respond to that question, right? So having that documentation with pretty much everything listed out, which is you being proactive, it lowers the need for constant Slack messages or Teams messages that everybody knows where they need to go in terms of finding information. These are just good standard practices, and I think every team should go ahead and avoid bottlenecks whenever they can. I do want to say one thing is that if you do have a platform like that, which I highly recommend you do, you want to make sure that everybody in the company has access to it. And once you onboard new people, what you're going to want to do is make sure that people first go ahead and take a look at that portal to find answers before they go ahead and reach out to anybody in Slack or any of these communication platforms that you might have set up, right? Because that's just, again, being proactive, which is mean getting people to go ahead and try to find answers for themselves, or trying to take the easy way out, taking the easy way out, which is, hey, can you give me an answer to this question? And then you run with it. So that's number one. Guidelines or documentation, that is pretty critical. That's going to help a lot in terms of inter-department communication and collaborating with other teams. The other thing is communication. And I was reading somewhere that most of the issues, if not all pretty much in the workplace, can be resolved with simple communication. I 100% agree with that statement. You know, think of it this way. Would it be useful or helpful if someone keeps pointing out the mistakes you make, instead approach you and say, hey, can I help you with that? Think of your manager, right? Like, or any manager you had. If they constantly tell you the things that you're doing wrong, it's going to frustrate you. It doesn't help you grow. But what they do is they say, hey, Saeed, I think you did this wrong, but let's take a look at it from this perspective, or let me help you level up. I think it's always going to be the option that's going to help you improve, right? And that's just being communication. And point being, like, quite often what teams end up doing wrong is build this herd mentality of us versus them. While this works great in a football game or like in professional sports, it's just not a great tactic in a company, because in a company, you all are going towards or, you know, focused towards a single target. And that's what you're all going to be doing. You're going to want to do. That's your goal is the same as everybody else that is working in the company. So what doesn't help is this scenario in which you have this herd mentality and you're pretty much attacking, like, yeah, we got to do our things our way and they're going to do it their way. That doesn't really help. It's not going to be able to go ahead and help anybody, let alone collaborate together. And one of the worst things you could possibly do in a situation like this, which certainly doesn't help at all, is constant complaining of how the other team is not doing a great job. You know, they might actually not be doing a good job, but that does not mean they're doing that purposely, right? Like, maybe the manager they have is inexperienced, or they simply can't see the solution to the issues that they're facing because, well, they're inexperienced, or they don't have these processes set up. In cases like these, the best thing to do, or the best option, in my opinion, is to go ahead and make sure you are communicating with the other team and asking them how you can help. See, talking about that example of the manager, you just have to be a bigger person here, right? Because it's easy to point on mistakes, it's hard to come up with solutions. So if they can't see it, you might want to go ahead and help them do that. I mean, they will respect you for it. Stop telling the other teams and start listening to them and their concern and ideas, right? I think it's also critical. Maybe something's broken in your department, your team, and they can, of course, go ahead and give that feedback and you can improve that out as a show of good faith. One thing I'm a big believer in is that things tend to look clearer when you're looking at it from the outside. And the reason for that is I built a sales and success team here at Hubstaff. I've done that at five different companies. And almost every single time, you know, they're my babies. I mean, I've built these from scratch, right? I put a lot of energy, time, tons of time and energy on those projects. So any critique that comes my way, I mean, I take it. I try to work on it, but it hurts. I mean, it really, really hurts, right? So it's always a good idea to kind of like get that perspective from the outside, because when you're inside, you're too close to the problem and you're too vested, which can cause complications. And the one thing that has helped me again in the past is that leading by example, using your team to help, you know, other teams with the issues they raise by asking for nothing in return. If you try to do things selflessly and you're not asking for much in return, chances are it's going to help you collaborate with that team a lot better. I mean, they're going to respect you for it, right? So create kind of like by doing a culture of helping. Now, that does not mean that once you need their help, you start dumping your work onto those teams because they have nothing to do. I mean, of course they do, they're busy, but you can always ask for help. But it's not what you don't want to do is, you know, give and take and give and take and give and take. No, sometimes just go ahead and give. I promise you it's going to return tenfold when you actually need any help, right? The other thing I would say is that whenever there's a project, try to involve more people, bring them closer rather than focus on critique alone. One thing that I see people do less of, and I wish they did more of, is just speaking to the other team about how they're doing, what they're essentially focusing on or working on is affecting their work, right? A typical example of this would be like the product breaking, for instance. Now, the product team probably is aware of the fact that customers are hurting because of the fact that the product broke or the server is down or something happened, or the release messed up, and it's causing a lot of problems. I'm pretty sure they're aware of the issue. But what you're going to want to go ahead and do that is help them understand the back end, what is happening, right? Like how your relationship with the customer gets strained every time there is an issue inside of the product. The only way they will understand this, if you personally help them understand or explain what is causing issues for you at work and how it's affecting the metrics. No one wants things to break. I promise you that nobody does. But it is part and parcel of the job that things will break. I mean, technology will let you down whenever you need it the most. I believe in that 100%. But what ends up happening is that communicating these things openly in the right way is the only way of making sure that the message gets across. And I know a lot of people are scared of actually telling colleagues what they think they're doing wrong. And I get it. But remember, you cannot bring about change if you're not willing to voice your opinions. Change cannot happen in a vacuum. Someone needs to stand up and push it through. So if you want to go ahead and make sure your teams collaborate well and properly, be that person who actually pushes that change through. The other thing, I think, or the third point here is determining the root cause of things, right? Like I'm not trying to say is that you start tracking every single thing. What I mean is that whenever there is a problem, try to figure out what the root cause of this is. And the goal here should be to measure and see the cause of the strained relationship or the process and attack that directly. It could possibly just be, you know, there is not a lot of team members on the team that, you know, that is handling a lot of tickets, or, you know, the success rep just does not know one side of the product that well enough or integrations well enough, and they need help with that, right? And, you know, sometimes resource constraints are often like the source of conflicts, right? Like, yeah, I pushed out a ticket, it's not been answered yet, and it's been a long time. And while I understand that problem, there isn't much that the support team or the other teams can do and go ahead and do that. To take care of the ticket because they're all already busy themselves, right? So trying to understand and determining the root cause often helps with figuring out where the problem is, and you just take appropriate actions from there. And the other thing that is very important is to ensure that the cause is determined before you actually go ahead and communicate anything with the other teams. I mean, because a lot of times or oftentimes we have our own bias that comes into place as well. And you might feel like that a particular team never reaches out to a customer on time. Sure, that may be a case in onesie, twosie situations, but if you look closely, they are probably replying within the time limit that has been set out for them, right? So before you blame other people or raise fingers, instead have a look at what exactly is causing those things in the first place, right? Like, how often does it happen? Is it daily, weekly? How does it affect all your work and metrics? And now that you have all the data that you need, you compile it, you can go ahead and have that conversation with the other teams and help them see your perspective. But the critical thing here is to ensure that you're not being rude or coming off as really aggressive. You need to get those things done. And for that, you need the other team's help, right? So you're always going to want to make sure that you approach them in a way that does not put you on a collision path with them. Absolutely, nobody likes to be critiqued. So if they mess up, be gracious and help them become better. You do that and not only your work relationship will get better for you, but you will see that the other teams will have respect for you as well. So always try to be more strategic, try to be more polite instead of just going head on. The other thing that works really well, recognizing good work. I mean, thing is, it's very easy to tell people they have done a shit job or understand or find out mistakes, right? Like, mistakes are like thumbs that stick out, you know. If everything's going well, people don't tend to say anything, but something goes wrong, boom, here comes an attack, right? Or here comes a ping on Slack that something is not going right. So while it's easy to pretty much, you know, tell people they're doing a shit job, it's pretty hard to go ahead and, you know, give them a comment and like, hey, great job, or a job well done, right? So it's always important to go ahead and recognize a job that is being done well enough. Now that you've explained in detail where the other team can improve, it's now time to ensure that when they do a good job, you recognize it. I mean, reason for that is pretty simple. People react positively to positive feedback. It also helps them recognize what the gold standard is and how can they do better. I mean, this is where you need to be someone who is the bigger person. Someone smart once told me that it's a lot easier to catch flies with honey than with vinegar, right? Meaning it's a good idea to be nice to others. You can win people over that way rather than being an asshole. Nobody wants to work with an asshole. Nobody looks forward to talking to an asshole, and certainly nobody enjoys spending time with them, right? Just don't be that. So if you recognize people for a job that they're doing well, they'll be more inclined to mull your suggestions over and, of course, apply them into their processes. But if you are being blunt about things and not considerate, the chances of making a change, it just torpedoes. So while I understand it becomes difficult and you want to give everything, you know, straight up, trust me, people who like giving people things straight up, they don't like it when people give them things straight up, right? So there's just a decorum in which how you should operate with people. And that just means that they might be different than who you are. And it's always a good idea to be more inclusive instead of just trying to push them down and hurt them. Last but not least, these are all good points, right? One thing I want to say is that, which I think is the most difficult thing, is to be the change you want to see, right? Like, I think it's the most difficult one of them all. Change is difficult, you know, especially if you're telling folks to change processes that they have spent years building or years practicing. It is never easy. Trust me, I know that firsthand. It hurts a lot. But I also know that without the change, you as a professional will never grow. You're not going to grow personally. You're not going to grow professionally. So the best thing here to do is to start sharing advice with people on other teams, but make sure you first resolve the major issues that the other teams are facing due to your work. Right, so there might be something not being done well in your team that is affecting other departments. So it might be a good idea to go ahead and plug those holes first before you go ahead and direct the other company. So you can, the other team members, you can actually see, they can actually see that you're making an effort to go ahead and do these things. Right, so it's kind of like you give, and you ask one thing in return. And one thing I've realized after working for so long is that there is always something you can do better. All it takes is how far and long you're willing to dig. Right. But if you start by making changes that are positively affecting yourself and your team, It will help you or make it that much easier for other teams to be receptive of the changes you want to make to help them with their workflow, or be receptive of the things that will help your team or customers, right? You just have to approach it the right way, and of course make sure and you show the initiative that you're doing it well yourself as well. My experience is that inflated egos are never good when it comes to collaborating. And while it seems, you know, it's the easiest option, it's always the one that is difficult that can actually help you achieve your goals. And the last thing I would like to mention is that if there's something that doesn't work between the teams, instead of hiding behind the teams and cowering behind the silos, the best option is to have a candid conversation. You know, best over a shot or a beer and just resolve the things. Part of being grown up is understanding that only you can resolve the issues that are facing you, because 9 out of 10 times if something goes wrong, chances are the blame lies squarely at your feet. So it's not that difficult. Sometimes it can seem pretty difficult and things can seem mundane and it just seems like things will never change. But frankly, it all just starts with communication. It all starts with making sure you understand how you can do better. Involve other people, try to give feedback in a more positive way, and don't make a shit sandwich, but please don't be an asshole about things as well, right? But before you go ahead and do that, try to determine the root cause of the problems, communicate it well, and if you already have guidelines set up, I think you're well on your way to make sure that the interdepartment communication doesn't mess up quite a lot. So yeah, that was it. I will go ahead and start recording another episode soon. So if you have any ideas of what you want to talk about next, just let me know and we'll go from there. Good one.